I'm Melvin York, and this is Gardening with Daddy Pete. We have talked about a lot of things over the last few weeks. One thing that we want to get into more, and it's probably going to take a couple sessions to get everybody the notes they need and where to go and what to do. And so you might want to have your little pen and paper, or make sure that you do go back and listen to this. We do archive these, and at the end of the segment, I will tell you how you can do that. Companion planting is something that is more and more happening in our gardening communities. Plants grow better together. We combat disease and insects with different plants growing in group or sections together. And therefore, we use less herbicide, regardless if it's chemical or organic. We also use less fertilizer, and planted right, we may even do less weeding. One of the oldest forms of companion planting was known with the Native American tribes, and over the years it got the name called Three Sisters or Three Sisters Gardening. Now, this was the original companion planting that was done many, many years ago. The Native American tribes would plant corn, beans, and squash together for a mutual benefit of each plant. Now, by doing that, they preserved their nitrogen in the plant. They provided a place for the beans to grow, and the squash did provide shade. Now, the technique for companion planting is that you take a 2x2 square of land, make a mound up, and you want to plant about four stalks of corn or four corn seed in the middle. Make sure you plant those stalks about, 4 inches apart, and leave a 4-inch square in the middle, 5, could be 6. And then around that, go directly out from that, like you're kind of in a square, and plant you 3 or 4 hills of beans. Just do each one of those four corn stalks, go out from that, kind of plant like in a circle sort of. And then out from that, on either the north and south or east and west end, you want to plant 2 hills of squash. Now, let's talk about the variety of corn to start with. Corn needs to be more into the older varieties, field corn where the stalks a little taller, a little hardier. Some of the new varieties, these sweet corns, are short, the stalks are weaker, and of course the corn is full of sugar. And that's fine, but what we're after here is really the Indians use this, or Native Americans, to preserve their food supply for winter. Now, for the corn, they used like some of the names that you may hear on these white corns is a no cob. It's a very small cob. It's a white field corn. The stalks grow tall. And actually, corn grows about anywhere from 10 to 12 inches long. Now, that's a good corn to preserve, to make meal out of. It doesn't have quite the sweetness that your newer varieties have in your garden varieties, but keep in mind, this is an heirloom corn. An old favorite that would come along through the years was Trucker's Favorite, that was grown for people that was doing what we call garden patch or patch growing, take to the markets and sell. That's a good one. It's still on the market today. But even your ornamental Indian corn, that's still a good one. Tall stalk, long ear, works well. Now, as far as green beans go, or beans, what we use those for is to fix the nitrogen in the soil. Because, as you remember, when we first started, we were talking about squash, beans, and corn, everything being beneficial. Your green beans will help fix the nitrogen out of the air to the soil, and it will feed the squash vine. When it comes to variety of green beans, if you're using green beans, of course, there's climbing or vining. The climbing varieties of green beans, there's several several types of those. Roma, right off the top of my head, is a good green bean that people like. There's some older heirloom varieties. Llamas, you have a climbing variety in those. And that's just to give you a couple examples. Now, when it comes to squash, you're looking for the vining type of squash, not your typical summer squash, but more winter squash. Keep in mind, they're going to take these, and I'm sure they'll eat some, but these are all long savers over the winter time. So this helps you get through the winter. Butternut squash is one. It's a vining squash. Again, it makes the shade on the ground that we're after to shade the crops. The green beans are going to fix the nitrogen to feed it. And then the corn is going to provide a trellis for the green beans to grow on. Some of these, just right off the top of my head, some of the ones that bind good is the Waltham butternut's a good squash. They're good to save over the winter in a cool, dry place. Works well. They have the another one is the Tahitian, the jumbo pink banana squash. Now, that is a very high yield, kind of a peak flesh. It takes about 105 days for it to mature, but it's a jumbo pink banana squash, and these things get huge. Some of them has grown up to 40 pounds. Another one that can be stored for a long time, honey boat, that's one. So that just gives you an idea. So when you're buying your seeds, make sure that you do this. Acorn squash is another good one. They've got a table queen variety that's called, it's an acorn, and the name of it's table queen. That is a very good one. And it's actually probably one of the earliest ones. It's an 80-day squash. So anyhow, let's go back over and just say we pick that 2x2 hill out. We'll go in the middle, 4 stalks of corn is what you're after. You know, plant a couple extra seed if you need to thin out. If you make this in a little bit of a mound, 3 foot's not going to hurt anything. Then what you want to do is come out several inches from the corn, and you want the beans to come on, follow the corn, and then the squash. Now, here's the most important thing. So remember, this is a three-stage planting. You got three things. It's three sisters. We're going to plant sister corn first, then sister bean, and then sister squash. So this is the oldest and probably one of the smartest things for preserving food for the winter without a lot of freezers, canning, because all this can be dried. The squash can be kept in a cool place and it lasts a long time. It's not like summer squash. It's more like your old, what I call pie pumpkins. They've got a different color to them. They kind of grow flat looking, but they will stay in a cool place. And if it's not damp for over a year, I've actually kept them myself for that long. So this is companion planting. There's a lot more things that you can do now in your spring garden, in your summer garden, and even your fall garden when it comes to companion planting to make sure that you don't have the pest, that you don't have the disease coming into the plant or to your soil. And to be honest with you, keeps down weeds, also saves on fertilization, and it's just an all-around way to grow that where you can enjoy your garden, enjoy your crops without doing a lot of extra work when it comes to herbicides or when it comes to pesticides or even fertilization. Your fertilization will be quite less. So I hope maybe that kind of gives you an idea. You can look that up or you can go back and on our website, daddypeach.com, and you can hear these podcasts. There is a, we're having a library set up on there online. You can just click to it, the ones that we did. Another thing while you're there, you can go around and look at our soils, our potting mixes, our soil amendments. We'd be glad for you to do that. check out our about page, see where we came from, and also sign up for our email, our newsletter. All this is free, and I think you'll enjoy it. So what we're going to do the next time is we're going to get back into companion planning a little deeper, and hopefully we caught your interest off of the three sisters, because this is an amazing way to grow. It's a centuries old way of planning, and it's kind of a tried and true method. All right, we will see you next time on Gardening with Daddy Pete.